and sing. You should sing. Go sing. Sing away. See my joy.
All right. Good morning, LifeSpring. Would you stand with us and let's worship Jesus. Let's go.
Amen. Accomplished in the name of Jesus. Can I get an amen?
I also want to encourage all of us in this crazy season in this world, continue to be praying for Jerusalem. We know Psalm 22 tells us, or 122 tells us to pray for the peace in Jerusalem. I don't know about you, as a Christian, my heart just goes out for all the things going on all over this world. And for God's people, man, I want them to be saved. I want that. As a Christian, I want them to be saved. And do you realize the song we just sang was actually about their king? Did you know that? It talked about the Lion of Judah, the one that comes in the line of David and Solomon, the prophesied king, the rescuer, the deliverer, the one who is coming back for his people. That's Jesus. And did you know that Jesus is still in the process of saving people? And it doesn't matter what religion you're a part of. If you confess the name of Jesus, if you bow your knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you shall be saved. Do you believe that, church? And so right now we just pray over the Middle East, over everyone there, Lord. We pray salvation would come to that land. And we thank you for protecting your people. But we pray right now that they would receive the ultimate protection, which is found by the blood of Jesus, the cross at Calvary, and that empty grave. We pray right now, Lord. Even verse 2, it says, open up the gates, make way for the King of Kings. I pray that hearts would be opened right now over in that region of the world to make way for the King of Kings. We pray right now, Lord, and even there's a part of our minds that says that's impossible, but my spirit says all things are possible with my God, who makes the impossible possible. So open hearts again, and that the King would come in and would be received by many, and salvation would come. Hallelujah. We pray, we intercede. Right now, we're Christians. We have the power and authority that comes in the mighty name of Jesus. Our prayers are not powerless. We pray right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am holy. Till every earthly part glows with your fire divine, glows with your fire divine. Yahweh, Yahweh. this means to you, would we just make room for Jesus? Would we just be silent before Him? Make room for Him to maybe speak to your heart, for Him to speak to you, just to sit at His feet, to receive His presence, to receive His love. Let's take some time right now.
Just want you, and nothing else. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Church, we go through life and sometimes we have that void in our life. And you know what I'm talking about. You know, when you get that void and you think, you know what, when you wake up in the morning, you're like, how is this today going to be better? And you're going, well, maybe if I had more money to fill that void, maybe if I had a better job, maybe if I had better relationships, that would fill that void. None of that matters without Jesus. Jesus is there for you. Jesus is going to fill that void. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Father God, we're here this morning because nothing else matters. We woke up today and we're like, you know what, God? We need to come into this place, into this house of worship, and we need to give you praise today because nothing else matters. Not all the things that are going to happen later on today or tomorrow or the next week. Nothing else matters but this moment right now where we get to spend time in your presence giving you worship today because nothing else matters. You are a good God. Remind us of that today, Lord. Remind us of that tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. That you're with us and that nothing else matters. And that you're going to hold us up when things are getting hard. You're going to hold us up. You're going to lift us high. Because you are our God. And we pray these things in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Can we thank them? Oh, fire tonight. Fire. Wow. Do we have any kids in the house? If we do, stand up, guys. If you were wondering where your kids are going, we're going to pray for your kids, and they're going to go upstairs, and they're going to enjoy some fun times. Who's teaching today? Mr. Joe Duvo, I think. I can see him there. Yep, Joe Duvo. All right, well, let's pray for these kids. Father God, we're just so thankful for these amazing, amazing children, Lord. We just pray for these children as they go upstairs, Lord, that you just reveal yourselves to them in amazing and mighty ways today, God, and that there's just joy upstairs and laughter and love. We just pray these things in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right. We got a few announcements to go through, so I'm going to try and go through them fairly quick because there's a lot of announcements here. Wow. But it's exciting because we know that when there's a lot of announcements, that means God is doing a lot of things through LifeSpring, right? So let's talk about that. The first one is Table for Eight. Yeah, that's going to be awesome. What it is we're going to come together and we're going to enjoy the soap journaling. And if you're wondering what soap journaling is, we actually have a video for you, I think. I don't like that screen. That's not a good screen, so... It's okay. I'm going to move on with this. We're still going to talk about Table for Eight. And if you want to find out more about soap journaling, I wanted to invite you for our Table for Eight. And we will show you. If you're wondering what soap journaling is, we will show you what soap journaling is. It's amazing. But after service, there are several tables in the back there. And you can do soap journaling. You can sign up for a lot of different. There's different groups. Table for Eight, there's different groups throughout the entire area. Different times of the week, different groups of people. Sign up for one, and we would love to have you. I know there's a couple at Starbucks. There's one I heard today is over at Taco Time. Who doesn't want to do Taco Time for journaling, right? That's amazing. There's one over at the 5 Mile Park, I hear. That's going to be awesome. Yeah. So sign up today. It's going to be really cool. It's a great opportunity for us to come together during the week and just to spend time together praying and just spending time with God, right? So first, I want you guys to repeat after me. Table. Four. Eight. Yes, sign up today. I want you guys to sign up. And if there's not enough room, guess what? We will make more room. We will find a way to make sure that everybody here has an opportunity to get into community and get plugged in. Amen? Amen. After church today, if you like football and if you like flags, I know some of you are just really gung-ho and you got your flags flying outside your house, you know, on your garage door there. This is for you. We've got flag football. So we're going to put those together. So come today after church at noon at 5 Mile Lake, and we're going to have flag football. So, and it says here, everyone is invited to that. That's going to be awesome. So even if you think, you know what, I can't play flag football. I can't even hardly walk. We'll find a way. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm told we do have a video here. So let's go ahead and let's just watch about soap journaling real quick. All right. Well, now you've been completely educated on what soap journaling is. Sign up today. It starts this week, by the way. So if you're wondering when it starts this week. We want to make sure you guys all get signed up for that. Next level classes are starting in 2 weeks. If you've ever been a part of next level class, you know what? If you've never been a part of a next level class and you're wondering, you know what? Next level classes are always so long. They're always 6 weeks long. But maybe, if you know what? If LifeSpring had one that was 2 weeks long, I would sign up for it. Well, guess what? This is for you. Yeah. We've got 4 next level classes, and they're 2 weeks long. So we got one that's for the new members class led by Pete Wilmot. And we also have a class called The Pursuit of Purpose led by Pastor Laura. This one sounds interesting. We have Adventures in Parenting with Pastors Dan and Mary. Wow, that's going to be fun. If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. And we have a Walk Through Hosea with Kent Ross. Yeah. So sign up for one of these classes. It'll start in a couple of weeks, and they're only 2 weeks long. You can be a part of it. And, of course, they'll be on Sunday evening. So come on, let's be a part of that. And then next Sunday evening, I want to make sure you have this on your calendars. Next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, we are going to have a potluck here at LifeSpring to celebrate Pastor Jesse and Debbie. Wow. So bring your tissues. Bring your potluck. We're going to have fun. It's going to be a celebration. We're going to pray for them. We're going to spend time with them. And just come on. It's going to be next Sunday at 6 o'clock. You're going to want to be a part of that. Trust me on that. And then we've got our final announcement, the Women's Breakfast and Clothing Exchange. Those are interesting woo-hoos I'm hearing there for Women's Clothing Exchange and breakfast. So, okay. That's Saturday, May 4th, from 9 o'clock to 11:30. And it's for our All Things Made New Women's Breakfast and Clothing Exchange. Bring your gently used clothing to the exchange and enjoy a delicious breakfast while hearing from a panel of women sharing stories of God's transformational power. And you want to RSVP by April 30th. So make sure you do that to secure your spot for this inspiring and uplifting morning. There is no cost. That is the best part. No cost to attend to this. So all you ladies, bring some clothes, come out, have an amazing breakfast, and spend time just growing closer to God. Amen? Amen. All right, this time I'd like everyone to stand up on your feet. Stand up. Man, everyone's a little slow. Let's go. Let's go. It's Sunday. We're here in the house of the Lord. Say hello to a neighbor for just a few moments, everybody. All right. Let's make our way to our seats, everybody. Woo. All right, all right. Let's make our way to our seats before the lights go out and it gets dark and you can't find your way. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to continue this morning with worship, with our tithes and our offerings this morning. I'd like to invite the ushers forward, please, as we prepare our gifts. Let's pray. Lord God, I'm just so grateful for this time we have this morning just to give to you in this act of worship. And that's exactly what it is. It's an act of worship because it comes from our best. And we want to give to you this morning, Lord. Before service, we were praying about all these amazing things that you're doing, Lord, and about how you're guiding us through this new building process and all these things. And it's just a reminder of all these amazing miracles that you provide in this community because of the funds that we collect, these gifts that we collect. And God, we just pray right now that these gifts, that when they leave this building today, that they continue to shine Jesus into the darkest corners of our community. And we just pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. Holly Harden had a word that I wanted to give her a chance to share. Holly, thank you so much. Come on.
Thank you. Yeah, while we were worshiping, the Lord just said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Every good work I've begun in you, I'll be faithful to complete. Can I just pray? Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, I just lift up this word over your people. I just thank you that everything you're doing in the lives of everybody here, you haven't forgotten. Even if we've forgotten, Lord, so I just pray that you would stir the minds and hearts of those here today, that you would remind them of the seeds you've planted there, of the things that they're passionate about because you've placed those passions there, about the things they care about, the things that they love. And I pray that you would bring those things to fruition in their lives. Thank you, God, for your goodness and your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we thank the Lord for that word? You might need to turn me down a little bit.
I'm a little loud.
That's so good. Somebody needed that, right? Somebody needed to hear that word. You know, like maybe every one of us. And thank you, Jesus. Every good work that he began in us, he is faithful to complete. In the name of Jesus and all God's people said, amen. Well, how you doing, Life Spring? You know, not like anything happened last week. You know, no big announcements last Sunday. You're wooing about that? I can't woo about that. Yeah, oh my goodness. I do want to encourage you to come the next 2 weeks. We put together a slide here. I'm bringing two of my favorite people, some of my best friends, out to minister to us, Life Spring, to minister to us and over us. So next Sunday, we have Pastor Joe from Integrity Life. What a treat that's going to be. Do we have the slide? I want to make sure you guys know who I'm talking about here. So Pastor Joe, and they have been so gracious to, you know, be our landlords. They're such good landlords. They've been so good to us. But the time here is coming up at the end of 2024, and I wanted to give them a chance to speak to us. So I can't wait. God is doing something crazy at Integrity Life. Like, this place is packed every Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. If you want to see some of that, come back at 1 p.m. They'd love to have you. And then his amazing wife, First Lady Pam, is going to be singing a song on that day. So next Sunday, again, you are not going to want to miss that. That's next Sunday. And then the Sunday after that, my dear friend, good friend, Scott Ingenieri is going to be here all the way from Nashville. And you're going to want to come to that. Also, Ryan Chavez from Nashville is going to be here. So it's going to be a Nashville party. Scott, if you guys remember, he did a service for us one evening where I think it was like over 40 healings that night. Just an incredible time. So please come. I know this is a season of transition, and it's important that we do this together as a family. Mark off your calendars. Make that commitment. Invite friends. Invite family. If you know someone that hasn't been to LifeSpring for a while, ask them to come. This would be a great time for them to reengage and be a part of it all. Now, for those of you who haven't heard, you're like, what are you talking about? We are sending this beautiful couple. Jesse, before you leave, you got to have your hair down at least once. I'm just going to say that publicly. It feels like a potluck would be, Yeah, no pressure, but a little pressure. He just said at the next place he pastors, he's pastoring with his hair down. How dare you? Yeah, the groans are appropriate groans. But they are taking on a new assignment with Foursquare. You know, lots of emotions with that, of course. But we don't know where that is. We don't know when that is. We don't know where that is. But what we do know is that their season here at LifeSpring is coming to a close. And so I think that potluck is really important. It's a chance for us to celebrate them, to love on them, to hug them. But also, hopefully, you have some stories you'd like to share. We want to have an open mic time, just a real family time where we can send this incredible couple out well. At LifeSpring, we send people out well. So let's do that with Debbie and Jesse. I will say this week, my heart has really gone out to you because I've talked to a lot of you and I've appreciated the texts and the emails, the phone calls. But what I'm realizing is that though you love them, though you're excited for them, a lot of you are just really sad. And I just want to encourage you as your pastor, that's okay. That's an appropriate emotion. That means you love them, right? That means you care about them and they're part of your family. And so I just want you to hear that as your pastors, we take that seriously. We, as your shepherds, we take that seriously. So I know Jesse and Debbie are praying for you. They love you. They're praying for you. I know that me and the rest of the pastoral staff just know that. We love you. We understand that this can be a difficult thing. It is, in many ways, an emotional thing. And we're here for you. And we love you. And we're praying for you. Amen. I know on my end, you know, you can imagine I'm processing some things. I'm trying to figure out what this means for my life. And so I've spent a lot of time with Jesus. And that's probably a good thing to do when you're trying to figure out your life, right? Spend time with Jesus. And I've been asking him some questions. But to be honest, I'm asking myself some questions. One of the big questions that I've asked myself, do I even want to do this without Jesse? Like, do I have the desire? Do I have the energy, the capacity to be the lead pastor here at LifeSpring? And so we've had a little bit longer, my wife and I, to process some of this, and a couple of months, actually. And again, it's just like, God, what are you doing? What do you want us to do? Where do you want us to be? Where do you want us to go? And through that prayer time, Mary and I, we want to be here. And not only do we want to be here, we really feel like the Lord has called us to be here. And so we're excited. Here's the other thing. I know none of us really like change. Things are going to change. It's just part of the gig. Things are going to look different. But come on, the Lord is good. God is good all the time. And we believe that this is going to be good because the Lord is good and the Lord is in this place. I mean, just even during worship, like, come on, the Lord is in this place. Amen. So this sermon today, and I'm really excited to preach this because this sermon in particular is really one that has been developed and has been processed and emerged over those last couple of months of spending that time with the Lord. Because again, early on when Jesse started talking about being sent out of LifeSpring, I just knew it. Like, I knew in my heart, like, wow, it is so important, so vital for me to spend time with Jesus. You know what I'm talking about, like just all the things, to hear from him, but also just to sit in his presence, to be restored, to be renewed, to be refreshed, and to be empowered for whatever he has for my life. Now, that's true for me, but did you know that's also true for you? If you're in this room, you need the Lord, and you need to spend that time with the Lord. None of us, I hope you hear me today, none of us should be trying to live the Christian life without, I mean, I'm talking intentionally, almost ruthlessly, like with a passion, carving out, like intentionally dedicating time to be with the Lord. Are you doing that, LifeSpring? To be with the Lord through his word? I love that we're doing the table for eight. I love our daily reading plan, but through his word, but also by his spirit. So I'm going to spend some time on this. Hopefully it's going to be helpful as you navigate this season. And this season, by the way, not just here at LifeSpring, but the season that we're in as a world, right? The global season that we're in. It's so important that we spend time with Jesus. So before I get into scripture, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Lord, I really am excited to deliver the word that you gave me today. And I pray that many of us would take brave and courageous steps today, steps of transformation and change, that we would leave here different than we came in. And we know that's only possible by your Spirit. So Holy Spirit of God, just breathe on us. As we sang earlier, breathe on us. Breath of God, fill us again. Breathe on us and change us to become more like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to the Gospel of Mark. I'm going to read two passages, one from Mark chapter 1, one from Mark chapter 6. And I'm going to read them at the beginning, and then at the end of my message, I'm going to come back to them again. Mark chapter 1, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. We're going to read verse 35. We're told that very early in the morning, if you can picture this with your mind's eye, I always think that's helpful so they're not just words, but very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, went to a solitary place, and he prayed. So early in the morning, while it was dark, went to a solitary place where he prayed. All right, flip over to Mark chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 30. So this is after Jesus has sent out his disciples two by two, gave them power and authority to do a bunch of awesome things, driving out demons, those types of things. Now they've returned, and look at what happens in verse 30. It says, the apostles gathered around Jesus, reported to him all they had done and taught. They're pretty excited. But then verse 31, so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. So Jesus says to his disciples, he says, hey, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place. Everybody say quiet place. To a quiet place. And he says, I want you to get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. So I've noticed in 2024, everybody's busy. Have you ever asked someone how they're doing? Hey, how you doing? What's the answer? Busy. I'm not against busy, by the way. I'm kind of busy. I love being busy. I've been that way pretty much my whole life. I like to do a lot of things. But if you're going to be busy, it's more important than ever for you to find that time to be with the Lord. Not just to be with him, but to hear from him. And not just to hear from him, but to really spend time with him. Intentional time where you're receiving from him. A lot of times as Christians, we say that we're praying, but are we really praying? I'm talking about spending intentional time with the Lord where he is able to minister to your heart, where you can be refreshed, where you can be replenished. Anybody, right, to get your tank filled back up. Man, I'm going to make everybody mad on this one, I think. But it's a dangerous season for all that because of this thing. And I know this thing ain't in the Bible, but we got to talk about this thing. Because as humans, now in our withdrawing time, or downtime, or me time, whatever you want to call it, instead of turning to Jesus, we turn to our phones. So instead of it being a quiet, solitary time, what is it? And I'm going to step on toes here. It's a video game. Or it's Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, you know, pick your poison. Or maybe even it's music or a podcast. And so you might be by, quote, unquote, yourself. It might even be a solitary place, kind of like what we just read in the Gospel of Mark. And yet you're still surrounded by so much. You're surrounded by noise pollution. You're surrounded by light pollution, right? You're stimulating your brain. Chemical reactions are going because of the podcasts or the pictures you're looking at or the video you're watching. Church, it is not solitude. That is not silence and solitude, the silence and solitude that Jesus modeled for us, that his disciples modeled for us. It's not the silence and solitude that they knew, they understood. They needed it for refreshing. They needed it for rest, for healing. They needed it for the restoration of their souls. This kind of silence and solitude, it is lacking in so many of our lives. And listen, LifeSpring, it is hurting us. It is not good. It's hurting us. I was reading this article in Time the other day about all of this, and it was a fascinating article. It was talking about noise and just how loud things are. Even compared to 100 years ago, the sirens, it said, are 6 times louder than they were 100 years ago just because of the noise that's all around us. But it was talking about the noise that comes from things like smartphones. And so the article was saying that listening to silence can actually regrow or grow brain cells. That's something back in the day, they didn't even know if that was possible. Neurogenesis. But in this article, it's talking about the benefits of listening to silence, but also talked about the negative effects of noise in our lives. And then it kind of went deeper, the negative effects of noise, especially on our emotional lives, in our emotions. In 2024, we are struggling with our emotions. But listen to what they wrote. They said, when sound waves hit our eardrums, they vibrate the bones of the inner ear, causing ripples and waves in the fluids of a pea-sized spiral-shaped cavity called the cochlea. Tiny hair-like structures inside the cochlea convert these movements into electrical signals, which the auditory nerve transmits to the brain. So now it's gotten to your brain. And it says neuroscientists have found that these signals go to the amygdala. There's two amygdala, so amygdalae, the two almond-shaped clusters of neurons that form the primary biological basis of our emotional lives, including, by the way, our fight or flight response. All right, so noise is coming in. It's making its way all the way into our brain, hitting the amygdala. And this is the biological basis for our emotional lives, including fight or flight response. And when the signals hit the amygdala, it starts the process through which we secrete stress hormones, which, by the way, would be a really good thing if you're out in the jungle and all of a sudden you hear a lion. You're going to want to have a stress response. It's going to save your life. But look at what they wrote. They said, too many stimuli result in excessive stress. Man, this is where we're living right now. Too many stimuli result in excessive stress, as evidenced by the presence of chemicals like cortisol in our blood. That just sounds like 2024 to me. I was reading a mental health article, and this is what they said. They said, the more that we use our phone, the more anxious we become about using it. A lot of us turn to our phone to ease anxiety, but it could be causing more of that unsettled feeling. So while you think your phone is calming you down, it's restarting a loop of anxiety. Stress and anxiety, just a big part of life in America. But yet it's interesting. We're trying, right? We're trying things to combat that. And I'm for it all. I'm good with what we're trying. The list is long, right? Whether it's medicine or therapy, counseling, TED Talks, YouTube videos, all that kind of stuff. I'm good with that. But what's interesting is we are willing to try almost everything and anything except for actually turning off our phone. Isn't that interesting? And yet we must be passionately, intentionally serious about this, that we would pursue quiet and solitude. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You got to fight for it. Fight for quiet and solitude. It's what Jesus had. It's what his disciples had. It's what Jesus modeled. It's what his disciples modeled. And what I love about Christian silence and solitude, it's not like an absence thing. It's not like where you're clearing your minds. What are you doing with silence and solitude with the Lord? You're actually filling your minds. But what are you filling your minds with? With him. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's with him. And there's so many ways you can fill your life with him. Again, it's not the absence, but it's presence. Some of you need to write that down. We're not talking about absence. We're talking about presence. And it's the presence of God. It's where you passionately pursue the Lord. When was the last time you just breathed in deeply his presence? I mean, deep breaths. A non-anxious breath that finds rest in the Lord. I get it. Chaos surrounds you. But that you would sit at peace in shalom with your Maker. Sit in the presence of God. When was the last time you just felt his pleasure, his delight, His joy, His love, His goodness, His grace, His mercy. This is what we need. Church, this is what we are made for. Did you know that? We were made for that kind of relationship with God. And that place, that secret place, that quiet place, it's a place of healing. It's so replenishing, renewing. We know the scriptures, right? The scriptures tell us this is where He refreshes us. This is where He renews us. This is where He restores our soul. Anybody like Psalm 23? Oh my goodness, I love Psalm 23, but look at this in verse 2. We've heard it before, but I want us to receive this again today. Let's read it together, in fact. Let's make this true today, church. He says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. Charles Spurgeon says this about restoring our soul. He says, when our soul grows sorrowful, God revives it. When our soul is sinful, He sanctifies it. And when our soul is weak, He strengthens it. Amen? Amen. This is what happens in the presence of God. Again, Christian solitude, it's not a place of absence. It's a place of presence, a place of closeness, intimacy with God. I think about Jesus in those 40 days in the wilderness. We know the Spirit sends Him out. At the end of those days, the devil comes and tempts Him. But then we're told in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, that when the devil left, what happens? It says the angels came and attended Him. The English Standard Version says that the angels came and they were ministering to Him. Ministering to Him. Some of you just desperately need the ministry of the Lord. Right? You know you do. You need the ministry of the Lord. And scrolling through your phone isn't going to get you there. Your notifications aren't going to get you there. A notification, what a trick. Whoever invented notifications, like, shame on you. Because I don't know about you. Like, I'll be in the best time with the Lord. Best time with Jesus. And then it's like, and Jesus, I just, and Lord, I just, what do? You check your phone. Notifications are from the devil. Like, some of you just turn them off. My notifications, just turn them off. I'm telling you, it's a game changer. There's so much freedom in turning off those notifications. Again, they're distractions. They're distractions. Again, you have times when you're alone. Maybe you're actually feeling really lonely, and yet those times are not times of, you know, silence and solitude. But you're alone. And some people are like, man, you don't know. I'm just so busy. I'm never alone. Well, here's some options. Maybe it's really early in the morning. Or maybe for you, it's on your commute. Or maybe for you, it's in the evening. It's like right before you go to bed. But again, and we're all here in this place today, those times, even morning, commute, evening, they have become distracted times. And you know it. It's affecting your sleep. You're not even getting good sleep because the last thing that you read or the last thing you heard was something about something going on the other side of the world, and it's keeping you up. Again, that is not green pastures. That is not still waters. It is a constant feed of video and songs and pictures or whatever else. I was reading another article. It's kind of scary. It said that this constant stream of stimuli that people in 2024 are living through, it is changing our brain chemistry. Like, humans' brain chemistry is changing. That should be concerning. The research coming out, that is scary research, that it's actually changing the chemistry in our brains. But I'd also say this, as a pastor and as Jesus followers, it's not just exhausting our brains, it's exhausting our souls. Some of us can go a day, or maybe even a week, or months, without truly detaching or unplugging from the cyber world. And you are robbing yourself, you are cheating yourself from the true ministry that the Lord wants to do, that His Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to restore your soul. And some of you are like, man, like, you're being really picky and really leaning on that cell phone thing. Yeah, I am. It's a big deal. And we're the first people that have had to really deal with it at the way that we're dealing with it. Where now little kids, 3, 4, or 5-year-old kids are watching iPads all day. And so someone has to talk about it. And I think it would be important for the church to talk about these things. Again, can you imagine Jesus going to His place of solitude? Can you imagine Him sitting by the Sea of Galilee and just kind of pulling out His phone and start scrolling? No way. Why did He withdraw? Why did He remove Himself? Why did He go to be by Himself? It was to be with His Father. because he knew his father loved him and his father was for him and his father had plans for him and his father had a will for his life. And so he drew away to spend time with his dad. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 12. It says, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. And look how long he prayed. Look at this. Do we have that one? Luke 6, verse 12. He goes to the mountainside to pray. And it says he spent how long? He spent the night praying to his father. He spent the night praying to his father. Maybe you're like, well, yes, Pastor, I completely agree with you. You're 100% correct. And thankfully, I'm not on social media and I don't play video games. Well, then for you, it's Fox News. Again, I'm going to make everyone mad today. And here's the deal. There's something to be said about being informed. Actually, right now, we need to be informed. I'm not against that. I think that's really good to be aware. And as a Christian, it's important to be aware because you can pray strategic prayers. So I'm not against that. I think that's good. But just track with me. Think 30 years ago, what did it look like to be informed? It meant reading the morning paper, right? You'd get the morning paper, you would read, and what would you read about? You'd read about what was going on in your town. Anyone remember the Auburn Reporter? I grew up in Auburn. You read the Auburn Reporter, and you learn about what's going on in your town. Maybe a little bit about what's going on in your country, and maybe even a little bit smaller amount what's going on in the world. But then you set it down. Maybe you used it to start your fire, and then you lived your life, right? You lived your life. And how did you live your life? You lived your life with face-to-face real relationships. With like humans that are right in front of you. And then after you lived your life, maybe you watched the evening news, right? The 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock news. But sadly, I know people, and I don't say this in judgment. I'm just saying this. I believe God wants to change some of our lives coming out of this today. I believe this is an important Sunday for us to be here. That I believe some of you spending hours and hours each day watching the news. Come on, it is getting you going. It is firing you up. And it's firing you up. It's literally change. I can tell that you'll say something to me or treat me in a way where I'm like, why are you even talking to me this way? And I can tell it's because you've been listening to another sermon somewhere else. And pick your poison, ABC or NBC or CBS or Fox. You were listening to something else, and it actually affected your face-to-face relationship with your pastor. That is not okay. And yet, come on, it's about people and things that you're never going to be, you're never going to meet. A lot of ways, things that you don't have any control over, you definitely don't have any influence or power over, and yet it's ruining your life. Some of you are literally yelling at the TV. Do you know that they can't hear you? I love you, church, but I mean, can you imagine what that's doing to your heart? We know it. We know it. I told you that I've been getting addicted to the news app. I know what that's doing to my soul. Again, I'm not saying not be informed. Like, we should be aware. We should know how to be praying and how to support and even political if you want. I don't mind any of that. But I'm just saying the hours and hours, days after days, week after week, month after month, what is that doing to your soul? John Mark Comer says this in his book, Practicing the Way. Super good book if you want to learn about how to spend time with Jesus, really kind of what I'm talking about, and even becoming more like Jesus. He makes this point about abiding in Jesus, how Jesus tells us, you know, abide in me and I'll abide in you. But look at what he says, and I think this is a valid point. He says, Jesus isn't asking you to do something that you're not already doing. All of us are abiding, he writes. The question isn't, are you abiding? The question is, what are you abiding in? That one gets me, right? What am I abiding in? I was really convicted about all this in 2023 because I love running, and running is a huge part of my healing that happened back February 7th, 2021. And so to be able to run, it's a great victory for my life. But running is done alone. And I realized that on my runs, I love podcasts. I mean, anybody else? I love a good podcast. And I love, you know, ones about the Bible, but I also like secular podcasts. I love knowledge. Like, my brain is wired to where I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to study. And I'm just like, man, this is the perfect time on my run. I can learn about the world. I can learn about the God who made this world. And yet, in the middle of the year, I felt this conviction. And I really honestly believe it was the conviction of the Holy Spirit. that God was telling me, hey, Dan, I want my time back. I want that time back. I want that time back. So that, come on, like, even though I was in a place of solitude, it wasn't with God. And technically, God was there. I mean, God's everywhere. He was with me on those runs. But the question and the conviction was, but where was my mind? Where was my heart? Again, there's time for all those things. Those things, they're good things. Like whatever it is, podcasts, Instagram, Fox News, video games, all those things can be a wonderful, great part of being alive and living life. But the conviction I was feeling, and I think the Holy Spirit would want to have some of us in this room be convicted about this. The question was, Dan, is there time for me? Is there time for me? Is there time for me? And so now my runs are done in silence. And I, you know, some of you are like, hey, I heard you run. Do you want to go running? And every time I'm like, ah. Why? Because those are times for me to spend time with my dad, my heavenly father. Now, I will say I do hear my breathing. It's not good. It's like, I'm not where I want to be in my runs yet, but there's sacred moments. Do you have sacred moments in your life, LifeSpring? Sacred moments to process my emotions, process my feelings, my hurts, my victories, my defeats, but to do it in and with my Heavenly Father who loves me. It's a safe place, a safe space to ask Him questions. He's not afraid of my questions. And it's also a wonderful, sacred place to hear His response. Do you have that? As your pastor, I want you to have that. Even as your enemies surround you. You know what I'm talking about. Even He sets the table surrounded by your enemies. Again, green pastures, still waters. Do you have that time with the Lord? It's for your good. Do you know that? God loves you. He's good and He's for you. He loves you. All that I'm talking about, this isn't some punishment. This isn't some like prison. This is for your good. This is for your benefit. If you're struggling at all, please give this a try. Give God and His presence a try. If you're having a tough time in life, give this a try. Give this idea of setting aside all distractions, all things that would come and invade, and just set them aside. Give this a try because the Lord, He loves you. He's for you. This is for your good. It's for your benefit. The God of the universe who made the heavens and the earth, He wants to restore your soul. He wants to restore your soul. I love Matthew 6:6. Jesus says, when you pray, go to your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. But then He says, your Father who sees what is done in secret. What does it say there at the end? It says, He will reward you. He'll reward you. Again, it's for your good. And if you try this, the Lord will begin to speak to you. And even if the first time's kind of awkward or if He doesn't at first, as you make this a habit, as you make this time with the Lord, you know, a part of your day, the Lord's going to begin to speak to you. And this is so important. If you didn't hear anything else I said, please listen to what I'm about to say. Because it's in this time when the Lord begins to give you guidance. It's when He gives you direction. This is when the Holy Spirit comes and becomes your counselor. This is when He is your helper. For me, Daniel Allen Bursch, this is the key to my life. This is the key to who I am and what I do. Because as I am quiet before the Lord, I want to get real practical right now. As I am quiet before the Lord, this is when He gives me my assignment for the day. If you've ever received a text from me or a call or an email that seemed kind of timely, like, wow, was this from Jesus? Guess what? That didn't happen by accident. That came from me spending quiet time with the Lord. This is when He brings people to mind. This is when He brings things that I need to do to mind. And sometimes it's like to pay the cell phone bill. Sometimes it's to mow the lawn. Did you know He can get that practical in your time with the Lord? Or to say, hey, Dan, text your wife that you love her. Thank you, Jesus. Good one. I love you. Right? It's as I sit in His presence that He begins to unfold and reveal all the good works He has for me. I love what she said earlier. He has good works, but it's in this silence and solitude where He prepares me, where He gives me the armor that I need. It's where He gets me ready, equips me to do the good works that He's called me to do. Think of it this way. It's where I get my marching orders. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's where I get my marching orders. And in 2024, buckle up, because we're going to have some things to do. God is on the move. By the way, some of the things he's going to be asking you to do are really, really hard things. In fact, I think there are assignments. I was praying this week. I feel there are assignments for people in this room that are very challenging. In fact, they are impossible without the Holy Spirit's help. These are assignments, by the way. I felt like he wanted you to hear this. These are assignments he gives to his very best, right? These are special assignments. But how silly it would be for you, and you, if you hear my voice and you know that it's you, just listen to this. It would be silly. How silly it would be for you to try to accomplish that task without first spending dedicated time with the one who is giving you the task. Do you know what I'm talking about? How silly it would be for you to try to do what the Lord is asking you to do without first spending time with the one who's calling you to do it. If he's giving you the order, I mean, wouldn't you want to spend some time in the briefing room before you go onto the field of action? It's a place of solitude where we find the wisdom, not the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom from the Lord. It's where we find the power, not my might, but the power of God. It's where we find heavenly resources, spiritual gifts, things that I couldn't manufacture on my own, but are good gifts that come from heaven above. That's when he ministers to our hearts and he gives us what we need. As 2 Peter 1:3 says, he has given us everything we need to live a godly life. I want to go back to those first two passages that I read. But this time I'm going to keep reading because I want to show you something here. Again, this is a time of preparing us for what the Lord has for us to do. Look at this. Mark 1, I read verse 35, but I'm going to keep reading to 39. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. Remember all this? He left the house, went to a solitary place, and he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, Jesus, everyone is looking for you. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Interesting, right? Solitary place. And then what's the very next thing that happens? He starts going around Galilee, preaching in synagogues and driving out demons. Church, do you believe that the Lord has some demons for you to drive out in the name of Jesus? I believe that. Come on, you're going to love what God's going to do in 2024. But we got to get to that place of solitude first. Look at this, Mark chapter 6, verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus, reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not have a chance to eat, and he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Right? Remember all of this. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Verse 33, but many who saw them leaving recognized them. Just picture what this looks like. They ran on foot from all the other towns and they got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and he saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And if you know your Bible, you know the very next thing that's going to happen is one of his biggest miracles, right? It's about to be the feeding of the 5,000. Whoa. Are you tracking with what I'm trying to say here? I believe the Lord is wanting us to pick up on something here. That solitude came right before something that was pretty demanding, something that felt impossible, pretty big. And yet look what the Lord does in and through his followers, through these disciples, through Jesus. Think about Luke 22. This is the greatest example we got of all of this. It's on the night of Jesus' betrayal. What does Jesus do? We know the story. Luke 22, verse 39. Jesus goes out to the Mount of Olives, as he usually does, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. But then what does he do? He withdrew about a stone's throw behind or beyond them. He knelt down and he prayed. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And we know what happens next. Jesus is arrested. Jesus is beaten. He's mocked. He's ultimately crucified, killed on a cross. But I believe this, church. It's that time of solitude that solidifies his resolve. It's that time of silence and solitude with his Father. It's a precious, intimate time with his Father that prepares him to fulfill his Father's will. Are you tracking with me at all on this one? See, and maybe he's not asking you to die for the sins of the world. Newsflash, he's not. You're not Jesus. He's not. But do you know that there are things that the Lord is calling you to do? Do you believe that about your life? If you're still here, you got things to do. Some of you just need to hear that. If you're still here, God's got things for you to do. And it's so important that you don't do them just kind of haphazardly or kind of aimlessly, just jump in and like, well, I guess I'm going to go do it. It would be so silly. And can you imagine if Jesse and Debbie just kind of jumped in to what they thought the Lord was asking them to do? You guys don't know this about them. They didn't say this, but I'll say it for them. Do you know that they've been fasting over this decision? Fasting, not like fasting social media. Fasting in they have not eaten the meal, and when they're not eating that meal, do you know what they substitute the meal with? Prayer, silence, and solitude. They're saying, God, I am withdrawing this food from my life because I want the food that sustains, the food that nourishes. I need the everlasting bread of life. Lord, would you speak to me? Lord, would you help me? Lord, would you counsel me? Lord, would you give me your guidance? And I believe this. I saw this so clearly, prophetically over them, that it's from this place on their knees, just like Jesus, just like his disciples, from that place on their knees, that now they are rising up, restored, and empowered to do what the Lord is asking them to do. I believe that in many ways. Think of it this way. They are coming up from their knees. So they're praying. They're fasting and praying, seeking the Lord. Rest and solitude. Restoration for their souls. Healing and rest. But then it's from that place they look up and they go, oh man, there are multitudes who are hungry. It's from that place with Jesus where they look up and they go, there are actually thousands upon thousands who are in desperate need, who need the life-saving message of Jesus Christ. And so now they come and they minister, but they don't just jump in and minister foolishly. No, they minister from a place of refreshment. Come on, anyone else? I mean, this is exciting stuff. They minister being renewed and restored and empowered by the Holy Spirit to minister to those who are in need. Amen. Amen. That's what they're going to do. That's what they're doing. And watch what God is going to do in and through their lives. So that's true for them. But what about you? What about you? Because God loves them, but he also loves you. They're very special, but so are you. And God has created in advance good works for them to do, but he has for you too. What about you? He loves you, and he has a plan for your life. So spend time with the Lord. I love that we're doing the Table for Eight. Again, sign up for that. Table for Eight just means we want them to be smaller groups. So around 3 to 8 people. And this is going to be great. We got 6 weeks to do this. Only 6 weeks. I think that's awesome. Give it 6 weeks, an opportunity to spend time with a smaller group of people where you can breathe in deeply the presence of God. Man, it's really good to see you again. God bless you. How are you? You can open up the Bible, read the Word, write down what the Lord's saying. Just 6 weeks of allowing your Maker to restore your soul. To close my message today, I actually wanted to give us an opportunity to practice some of this. And again, I really felt like the Lord wanted me to just make this obvious that he is ready for some of us to change. And by his Spirit, he's going to give us the power to change. Amen. And for some of us, silence is terrifying, and you don't need to show your hands on that. But there's various reasons why silence is a struggle for some of us. And I'm going to give us an opportunity to practice some of this. I'm not even going to say, you know, just be quiet for 30 seconds. Actually, I'm going to do something else. I think this is going to be good. The other morning, I think it was Monday morning, I got up kind of early for me. Some of you work way too early, but for me, it was kind of early. It was right when the sun was kind of waking up. And I went outside, and it was very silent, but it was also kind of noisy. Again, this is right before sunrise. So what I want to do, we're going to play. I have about a minute of audio. And if you would, just close your eyes. And I want you to listen. And I want you to pay attention to what you hear. All right, so could a couple of people shout out what you think you heard? Birds? Does anyone know what kind of birds? Robin? You could say anything and I would agree. I have no idea. Did you hear? There's a couple other things that, an airplane, yes, at the end, you hear an airplane. And then traffic, yeah, cars. Yeah, so that's even like before the world is awake, you heard that kind of noise. And here's the deal. Right now, most of us have things going on in our lives. You have a situation or something going on where you really need to hear from the Lord. You need his wisdom. You need his guidance. You need his healing. You need his rest, all those types of things. You probably got at least one, maybe a few things going on. Just like me, you need to hear from the Lord. But again, our phone's going, our TV's going, our car stereo's cranked, just all that noise. And then if you're like me, we're like, where are you, God? Right? I can't hear you, God. And with this clip, it's just some birds, a couple cars and a plane. But I want us to listen again. And this time, if you would, I want you to really listen for the Lord. The Lord wants to speak to us today. I want you to listen for the Lord who makes you lie down in green pastures, the one who leads you by quiet, still waters, the one who restores your soul. Let's do this again.
I'm going to play, but for those of us, I would just want you to respond. No expectation of singing, but like Dan was talking about, this is a time for you to kneel. This is a time for you to stand, sit, come to the altar, or if you want to sing. But I just want us to, can we just do that? Can we breathe in? Breathe out? Say, God, we want your presence.
Secret in the quiet hour. to know you more. And I want to know you. And I want to hear your voice. 'Cause I want to know you more. And I want to touch you. And I want to see your face. And I want to know you more. 'Cause I find that I'm safe and warm in your loving arms. And I find that I'm safe and warm in your loving arms. 'Cause you see me, you know me, and you love me through and through. You see me, you know me, you love me through and through. In the secret, in the quiet place, in your prayer stillness, you are there. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. 'Cause I want to know you more. I want to know you, and I want to hear your voice, and I want to know you more. And I want to touch you, and I want to see your face. I want to know you more.
This time of solitude, just remember, it doesn't have to end this morning. Sunday morning is not just your only time for solitude. You can have that solitude tonight, tomorrow, and every other day. I don't know about you, but that whole cell phone thing, that was definitely kind of eye-opening, right? I know a lot of us turn to our cell phones, we turn to distractions of the world, when we can be spending that time turning to Jesus. So that's my prayer for this morning, Lord. I just pray right now, God, that next time I'm on my phone, just remind me of the words that Pastor Dan spoke this morning. Just remind me to set that thing down, shut it off, shut off the notifications, and just have some solitude, quiet time in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Can we thank Pastor Dan for his amazing word this morning? And wow. So this morning, as I close here this morning, I just wanted to remind everybody that after church at noon, we are playing flag football. For anyone who's, yeah, I think Pastor Dan will be there. Right?
Bring it on.
Stretch before, right? Stretch. Yeah. It's good to know. It's good stuff. We also have our prayer team up available. They're going to be over here on my right, your left. And we would love to invite you to prayer. You know, you had your time of solitude. Come pray. Come pray. Don't leave here without prayer. It could possibly be the most important thing you do today. If you're new and you're visiting with us, we'd like to invite you to our welcome center up here. We have an amazing gift for you, and we just want to say hi to you and get to know you. So if you're new with us and you're visiting, come stop by and get your gift and just say hi. And then if you guys can all stand real quick, we're going to say this together as we do every Sunday. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And before you leave, be sure to sign up for the table of eight in the back, all right? We'll see you guys next week. Have a good one.